So I got the end of Jonah bit. I'm not going to take you through Jonah again because we've done lots on it. But for me, the whole thing of Jonah that comes out is it's about choices, about whether we choose to go God's way or our own way. When we were doing Holiday Club, I got the chance to do the talk for the kids to do with Jesus and his crucifixion. So the really cheery one. And when I was looking at it and deciding what to do, again, I really decided that it was about choosing one way or another to go. That Jesus, at that time, we read the passage where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says to God, "If you can you take this away, please? But not my will, yours. I choose to do your way." And the fact that Jesus choosing to go to the cross showed us that he was the only one who had chosen right, the only one who had chosen the correct way, chosen God's way. Because sin is about choosing our own way, deciding that I'm more important and I want to do my way. But Jesus said to God, "No, I'll do your way." People might not understand it around me, but I choose to go your way. We have choices to make all the time. Some of them are quite mundane. Do I have peanut butter and jam on my sandwich? Or do I have peanut butter and ham on my sandwich? Or just peanut butter? Fairly mundane things. Choose where to live. Choose where to have a job. Choose who to marry, if to marry. Choose whether we have children. How we bring up our children. Choose which school they go to. Hopefully help them choose to move out. Lots of choices that we have all the time to make. For most of us, there would have been a day where we made a choice for God, where we realised that we couldn't get it sorted for ourselves, that Jesus had done all that needed to be done, and that we needed to come and ask him to help us, that we were sorry for what we'd done, that Jesus was the only way that we were going to be able to get that relationship back with God. We made that choice. I choose to follow Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. We have choices every day to make. Proverbs 20 and verse 24. I've just put up two different versions. NIV in the Message. Just to get us thinking about this. A person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way? Or, the very steps we take come from God. Otherwise, how would we know where we're going? As a Christian, I want my steps to be guided by God. I want God to be the one that's guiding me, that's showing me the right way. But I have to choose then to do something about it. So there's no point God with a big flashlight saying, "This way, this way, this way," and I go the opposite way, a bit like Jonah to start with, that God wanted him one way and he chose to go another for lots of different reasons. God wants us to choose to go his way. And each day we are told that we need to pick up our cross and carry it daily. We need to choose to say, "I am dead to me and the sinful part of my life, the self that wants to do it my own way. I'm dead to that. I'm alive in Christ. I am a new creation in him." And each day we need to make that choice to choose God's way. So as I was thinking about all of these different things, this whole idea of a lighthouse came to mind. Now, I love the seaside, and it upsets me that God called me to Birmingham when it's the furthest away I can get from the sea. So whenever I get anywhere near the sea, I just love it. When I was living in Edinburgh, the last place that I lived in, lived quite near to the Firth of Forth. So I was right on the seaside by Crammond, and I used to love walking there. We don't have many lighthouses around there, but there are little islands in the middle where during, I think it was probably the First World War, they built these places to check out to make sure that no U-boats were coming along the Firth of Forth. So you can go there, and it's similar. This whole idea of a lighthouse and being guided and being directed, and what is it there for? And as I thought a bit more about that, strangely, was taken to Exodus 13. So I'm just going to read Exodus 13, 17 to 22 for you. So this is after the Israelites have left Egypt, after all the plagues and everything, and after the toing and froing of Pharaoh, of yes, you can go, no, you can't go, yes, you can go. They've now gone. So when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. It's not quite a lighthouse because it's moving, but this idea of this light that was going to direct them. We can see from the map, possibly, they went all the way down and then all the way up again rather than going straight across. It would have been much simpler to just go straight through. But God says here in verse 17, I know they're not ready for this yet. Because if they come up against a fight, they're going to run back. They're going to run back to Egypt and go back to the life that they had. And that's not what I want for them. So God guided them on the long road. It took them a long time, it took them 40 years to get what probably could have taken maybe 40 days. It took them a long time to get there. God had a reason for taking them the long way round. Do you ever find yourself getting frustrated with God? Frustrated with how things are going or not going? Frustrated with the way your life seems to be panning out? In the same way that God knew that the Israelites weren't ready to fight the Philistines, even though they'd come ready for battle, God knew they weren't ready for it. And God knows what we need. When I, many years ago now, so I'd probably been at this church about 5 years, 6 years, and I remember being part of a worship team, and for me, I felt very out of it. Because everybody had degrees. And I was stupid because I didn't have a degree. And I remember one day saying to God, why didn't you let me get a degree? Why didn't you guide me in that way? It was not the thing in my family at all. The fact that I stayed on to sixth form was a bit of a radical thing. Because most people in my family got out of school as quick as possible. But my mum and dad had allowed me to stay on to sixth form. But it was made very clear that that was it. You now go and work. You now find something worthwhile to do. Don't just stay and study. So I was having this rant at God. Why didn't I go to university? Ooh, having a real go. And as I was busy ranting away, the words very clearly came to my mind. And God said to me, but Laura, you asked me which way to go. And I showed you. So be quiet. Stop arguing with me. I took you the right way. I took the way that it was right for you at that time. And I know I've said this to some people since, that when, however many years ago, probably 10 years ago now, when the realization came that I was going to be able to go to university and get a degree, I was so excited. Because I'd given up that hope. I'd put it down and said, okay, God, your way, whichever is right with you. And then God suddenly came back to me, well, not suddenly because it took years, but came back to me after time and said, now's the time. Now's the time. Let's go for it. So sometimes God takes us on a roundabout way. It takes years to do something that could have taken months. But it's because it's his plan. It's the plan that he has. He knows what we can cope with in the same way as he knew what the Israelites could cope with. So he guided them, he led them. Yes, the long way, but the way that ultimately was best for them. Verse 18 says that they were armed for battle. They were ready for whatever might come, they thought. But God knew differently. So although they were armed for battle, God says, I don't want you to fight. And recently, we were challenged to put on the full armour of God, to be fearless, to be willing, he's just noticed himself, to be willing to actually face whatever God brings, that we stand fearlessly, because that's what God has asked us to do. And in 2 Chronicles 20, let me read that for you. Again, there's verses that keep coming back to me. They came initially for worship team, but they just haven't left me. So 2 Chronicles 20 and verses 15 to 17. So someone has come to speak to them and he says, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So in this passage, they're told, yes, go out and face them. Come and be fearless. Stand before whatever comes at you, whatever life throws at you. Stand in God's armour and be fearless because of all that God has given you. And then in 2 Chronicles 20, it says, because you're not going to have to fight, because this is my battle, God says, and I'm going to sort it out. But I want you to come and stand. Come and stand and see what I can do. See God's work. The Bible tells us to be still and know that God is who he says he is. Be still. That goes against a lot of what we want to do, because we want to get into battle and we want to fight things and we want to be doing stuff. But there are times, as God leads us, he tells us to be still. Be still and see what I'm going to do. Let me show you just how awesome I am. Let me show you the fact that I care so much about you that I'm going to be with you in this battle and defeat those who would come against you. In verse 19, I thought it was a bit strange, and Joseph's bones gets taken with them. And again, I thought a bit about that and thought, well, what does that all mean? What's that going to say to me? Joseph had been led by God to enable the Israelites to be provided for at a very difficult time. But Joseph's journey to that place in Egypt was not an easy one. His journey was very difficult. If you remember the stories, his brothers threw him into a pit and then sold him. He then managed to get a job and seemed to be doing well, and then was accused of things and was thrown into jail. He then manages to get another job and does really well, and then Potiphar's wife takes a fancy to him and accuses him of something, and he gets thrown away again. Constantly, he chose to do God's way, and he came up against opposition and problems. Joseph went the long way round. But by going the long way round, he learnt so much about how God would provide for him and then ultimately provide for his people, even in difficult situations. Joseph chose God's way. So by taking Joseph's bones, in a sense, for me, the Israelites were saying, we want to choose Joseph's way, the way of God. We want to choose to follow God, no matter what happens, however difficult it might be. And in verse 21, God went ahead to lead them. And again, you might have heard this before. And our shepherds in this country, we tend to go behind the sheep and drive them on and chase them with the dogs and the whistles and whatever else. We're driving them on. But shepherds in the Middle East walk in front of their sheep and they call them and they follow. They're up there. If anything should go wrong, they're the first people who are there to protect their sheep. In our case, if we're driving the sheep on, we don't know what's happening at the front. Those sheep are in danger because we could be driving them on into anything. But God says that I walk in front of you. I'm there ahead of you. I'm there to lead you. I will only ever lead you into a place that I am. I will never lead you to a place where you won't find me. I will be there. He leads us to the place that we should go. This is an illustration of the cloud, the pillar of cloud. So by day, the Israelites had this cloud that went before them, that showed them how to journey, that showed them the right steps to take, guiding them constantly. And then by night, they had the fire. You might recognize the refrain in the song, "Far before me, you're the brightest." God leading us. He wants to lead us in the way that we should go. But we have a choice. We choose what we do. We choose either to go God's way or our own way. There isn't an in-between. There isn't a, well, I'll go God's way, sort of. I'll go down this lane a little bit and then I won't go any further. God says, no, I want you to choose fully, my way or your way. The Israelites were taking the long way round because, again, a lot of their choices, they started going back to choosing their old ways, their own ways, the ways that they were used to. And God constantly had to keep reminding them, come and choose my way because I know what's best and what's best for you. I've created you. I know you inside out. I know all about you. I know your strengths. I know your weaknesses. I know your fears. I know your apprehensions. I know the dreams that you have. I know everything about you. Let me take you on the way that is right. Let me lead you in the way that is right for you. And if we think back to that Proverbs verse where it says, how would we know which way to go if we don't trust what God is saying? That old phrase, it's like the blind leading the blind. We'd be walking around bumping into each other, going all sorts of ways. I think God says, let me lead you. Let me show you the way. In the same way as he never let down the children in the desert. That flame, that cloud never left them. It was always at the front of them, leading them God's way. God wants to show us the way to go. And I found a little, I think it's a prayer really, on the internet, St. Patrick's breastplate. And I thought, oh, that's quite good because it fits with our armour idea. I wanted this idea of God being all around us, being there to look after us on every level. So this prayer says, we wrap round ourselves today the great name of the Trinity, the three in one, the one in three, the God who lives eternally. Christ within us, Christ around us, Christ beside us, Christ surround us, Christ behind us, Christ before us, Christ to comfort and restore us, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger, Christ beneath us, Christ above us, Christ to cherish and to love us. God wants to be all around us. He wants to be whatever we need him to be. Whether it is a shepherd, whether it's a lighthouse, whether it's a rock, whether it's the fountain of life, whether it's the bread of life, whatever it is, these names were given not just so that they were nice names that we could sing about. These names were given to show us aspects of who God is. And we choose to look on the thing, I suppose, that really touches us. What do we need God to be at this minute? What is God wanting to be for us at this minute? He wants to lead us in the way that is right. We have a choice to make, whether we follow or whether we choose our own way. Let's take a minute to think on what has been said, and then we're going to sing a song. Lord God, it's difficult when we feel that you're leading us the long way round, when we feel that things could happen so much quicker. Help us to be patient. Help us to trust you. Help us to understand that you see the big picture, that you do know what's best for us. You know what's best for those around us. Will you surround us today and every day? Enable us to choose to go your way. Enable us to see the right way to go. Enable us to understand that you're with you beside us, we can be fearless. You have equipped us with your whole armour. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us all that we need. Help us to stand for you and see you at work. Amen.